welcome to the Intentional Living Center, everybody. Dr. Randy Carlson here live today. Let's open with this. Those of us, any of us, who come to understand and use our emotions to grow will grow stronger, wiser, and more successfully than those who don't. If you used to use your emotions to understand how you handle money, how you handle food, how you handle your relationships, you're going to be wiser, stronger than those who frankly use their emotions to do things, develop habits, direction their life that could be damaging. So welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy Carlson here. We're starting with the focus on emotions. One of the big three when it comes to our head, heart, and hand, our thinking, our emotions, and then our habits. We're talking about emotions. And let's get started with this statement that buried emotions are buried alive. If you take your emotions, maybe you struggle with loneliness, maybe it's struggling with anger, anxiety, whatever, and if you bury it or try to ignore it or push it aside and not understand that your emotion is there for a reason to understand, you're still just sort of burying it alive, and it has this effect to awkwardly reappear at the most inopportune times in our relationships. So those who understand and use their emotions to grow will grow stronger, wiser, more successfully than those who do not. You're welcome to come on in and join us. How are you using your emotions to grow? That's really what I want to hear today. We know the downside, how negative emotions can be so destructive, but how are you using your emotions to grow? It'll be interesting to hear if anybody calls, because many of us struggle with this. Just how are you using your emotions to grow? 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. You know, emotions are like a fuel. God gives us emotions. The Bible, in fact, says to us in the book of Ephesians, go ahead and be angry, but don't sin. In other words, emotions in and of themselves are not bad. It's what we do with them. If you're experiencing an emotion like anger, anxiety, fear, worry, what are you going to do with it? It's a fuel. And like gasoline, if you use gasoline in the right way, it can move a mountain. It can blow up a mountain, right? It can help you do fantastic things. On the other hand, gasoline that is not controlled can blow up a life and burn down a forest. Emotions are simply vital signs to sort of be an indication of what's going on in life. And so if we stop and ask ourselves, hey, where is this emotion coming from? Why am I feeling upset or nervous or fearful today? Understanding the cause, understanding the impact, and understanding how to use them, how to understand to use them to grow in your life. That's really what we want to talk about today. What have you learned about your emotions? All right, 888-888-1717. Brittany in Michigan left a comment with me. I think it sort of sets the stage of how emotions can really sort of drag us down. Take a listen.
I listen to your shows pretty often. They actually help me get through the days. Me and my husband have been going through a lot of stress lately with money and job-wise. We lost our house a year ago, and we are pretty much on the verge of getting divorced, but we're both still hanging on somehow. I don't know how. I was just calling to get some, I guess, hope inside me. I've let myself get down so far that I've caused myself to get depression, and so has my husband. I was just calling to see if you had any word of advice.
Well, there's some practical things in that, in your call, obviously, Brittany, and I would encourage you, we're talking about emotions today, I would encourage you to use whatever these emotions are. You're feeling depressed, feeling down. You know, there was a statement made by author John Gray. He said, when negative feelings are suppressed, or when we try to set them aside, or maybe we wallow in them. You ever wallowed? I don't even know where that word comes from. But you wallow in your emotions, you wallow in your pity party, or you wallow in your feeling lonely or whatever it is. And I do that. Come on. But he makes a great statement. When negative feelings are suppressed, positive feelings become suppressed as well. And so they're tied together. And when we allow our emotional life to get hijacked, I wrote a whole book on that. When we allow our emotional life to be hijacked, our whole life gets hijacked. Our marriage, our family, our relationships, our attitude, and so on and so on. And so in your case, Brittany, and I think for any of us, take your emotions today and say, well, all right, I get the emotions are here, I'm experiencing it, but man, I'm not going to allow emotions to control my life. This is just a warning sign. This is a vital sign. This is sort of, hey, it's time to do something. If you got problems financially, you got problems in not communicating, whatever, get on top of them, get some help, sit down and say, hey, we're going to work on this. We're going to give God glory and we're going to benefit from it and we're going to get at it. That's intentional living. Now, saying that is one thing. Doing it is the tough thing. And it begins by getting up today and saying, what one thing can I do today that make the biggest single difference? How are you using your emotions? How have you used your emotions to understand something to help you get going? All right. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Love to talk.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
A good intention isn't good until it's acted on. A good intention is the place that promises and hopes and dreams go to die a slow death, and we call a good intention procrastination. It leads to mediocrity and regret and hopelessness. But acting on an important hope for, like saving your marriage or overcoming loneliness, requires energizing a good intention to get moving today. Start a 30-day challenge to act on daily. Something that's important. Like Paul says, I'm forgetting what's behind and I'm pressing toward the goal. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with this Intentional Living Minute. I'll talk more about this at the Night of Hope coming to Glendale, Arizona on June the 6th. I invite you to join me and learn how to turn a good intention into action. The Haven Church, June 6th, Glendale, Arizona. Get your tickets at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right. Hey, listen, if you haven't done that already, why not? We're going to be in Glendale. That's the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, for a Night of Hope, as I just mentioned in that spot. Coming up June 6th, so I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks away, we're going to talk about how do you really experience hope in a really positive, powerful way in your marriage, your family, your relationships, your personal life. We've got some great music and worship and praise, and I'm going to be there teaching. Kanko Fritz from The Morning Show and his wife are going to be there sharing their story. We're going to have a great evening. This is a night to come and just celebrate what God is doing and learn how to move to the next level of really living intentionally in Him. It's going to be a great evening. Get your tickets at theintentionallife.com right now. All right, let's go to Letty in Arizona. Hi, Letty. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Appreciate
your
call. Good. Doing well. Thank you. What caused you to call today about emotions?
Oh, because I've been through a lot of turbulence in my life with all the medical diagnosis, and it's put me through a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of anger at times, because sometimes you feel that this life isn't fair, but I get all that and I just push it forward. I use it as fuel, like you mentioned, you know, to just make me go forward and believe in God that He is going to pull me through all of this. You know, I believe in His word, and I listen to your radio all the time, and that just motivates me more to just believe in God that, you know, depression is not going to get me anywhere. Anger is definitely not going to get me anywhere. Yeah. Depression, well, you know, where that comes from. So I just use it all to just continue to move forward and lead a better life. And with all the, you know, the stuff that's going on, I just just believe in God and just go forward, I guess, use it as fuel.
Yeah, that's good. And listen, that's what we have to do because, as you said, anxiety and worry and fear and these things aren't going to help us. And if anything, they can pour the wrong kind of hormones into our system to drag us down even further. And it really does come down to taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ and asking the right questions. Lord, I'm facing this. It's here. I got two choices. I can either wallow in the problem or I can choose to do the next right thing, the thing that you want me to do. See the doctor, take the medicine, do the treatment, trust you, and go day by day. Easier said than done. It's easier said than done. And so having the courage, and that's why we do a show like this, to remind you you're not alone, to take whatever emotion you're feeling and ask the question, do I have any control over this? Is there something I can do, I need to do to make a difference? Why do I feel lonely? Why do I feel angry? Where is this coming from? And why is God allowing me to experience this today? And what do you want me to do about it, Lord? What's next? All right, Letty, thank you. We'll be praying for you and adding you to the prayer list here. Many people on that list. Nathaniel's in Arizona as well. Hi, Nathaniel. Appreciate the show.
Hey, how are you
on the show today? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What have you learned about dealing with emotions?
Oh, man, I'm new to the whole ordeal. Like, I've had over 20-plus years in drug addiction, and they had to give me a feelings wheel, actually, you know, so I could understand these things. But I use it as a source of understanding to see how people are feeling, you know what I mean? Because, I know how he's feeling, and usually that just leads to what they're going through. And it makes it easier to become like a...
Do you think, let me ask you a thing, you think you part of the drug use was really kind of burying emotions in some ways?
Oh, dude, yeah. It blocks it out.
Yeah, how are you doing now?
I'm doing good.
What one thing made the biggest difference, do you think, for you?
That's a good ass question.
Was there a crisis point that you had to say, hey, I'm either going to die or live?
Yeah, fear, you know, and just hopelessness.
Yeah. And so you got some help?
Yes, thanks to the probation department. But they caught me in a moment of desperation, and I actually heeded their advice and decided to go on the recovery path. And I met a bunch of amazing people, you know what I mean? And yeah. It's the emotions, it's like they call me support?
Mentor. Yeah, you got a mentor and peer support. Listen, you remind me of something. By the way, Nathaniel, thank you. I know you got a lot of people who can relate to what you're experiencing. We're going to be praying for you and thinking about you today. Sometimes external forces, probationary department, law enforcement, spouse, neighbors, whatever, sometimes they provide an aha moment in our life. I'm either going to live or die. I'm either going to stay in this, I'm going to have a marriage or I'm not, or I'm going to have my health or I'm not, or I'm going to be alive or dead. And the emotions that are associated with that can either be something that causes us to get stuck, go further down this rat hole that we're in, or we can say, enough of this. God's got something better for me, and that's the direction I'm going to take in my life. Hey, man, I'm glad you're listening. I mean, we could do a whole show just on your story, I bet. And I'm glad you're listening. You're growing. God's making a difference in your life. And you allowed that fear. Listen, that's what you said, fear. You allowed the fear to become an emotion that drives me to say, hey, I don't want to be under this cloud of fear any longer. And made a difference. Good for you. All right, Denise, you're on the line as well in Arizona. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Appreciate it. What emotion did you experience and how did it help you and drive your life or move your life?
Well, a lot of insecurities. I'm 61, and a few years ago, I just realized what was kind of driving my whole life, and it was fear of not being loved, not being good enough. And it was a book I went through with some other women, and just realized it was from my childhood, actually, messages that my parents didn't necessarily mean to do, but because of their childhood, you know, just how, you know, it gets passed down from generation to generation. And my mom had a lot of OCD. And so the message that she gave to me was that I couldn't do it right ever. I never could do anything right. And so throughout my whole life, I felt crippled emotionally, like everything I do, it's going to be wrong.
How did that affect you in your relationships, Denise, all those years?
I tried to control everything. I tried to control my children. I tried to control my husband. Unfortunately, you know, I went through a divorce. Not because of that. He had some addictions and things like that too, on top of everything. But that feeling of not being loved, like even through his addictions, I felt like I wasn't lovable. Yeah. There was something wrong with me.
So what kind of emotion, when you think about your emotion, was it fear or loneliness? What was kind of the primary emotions?
I would say fear. I feared everything. I couldn't make a decision because I was afraid I'd make the wrong one.
So how are you doing now?
I'm doing pretty good. I have to remember that, you know, that book just showed me that Satan uses those lies to keep us down. And I'm not going to give in to that fear. So when I feel those feelings, I remember I am lovable because God loves me.
Amen. That's true. Hey, let me tell you something, Denise. You're not alone. The number one song, we do the surveys on the number one songs on the radio here. And the last survey
fear
came out. Yeah. Fear, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Because we relate to it.
I embrace that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what do you do?
Yeah, I mean.
What is it you do now that helps you tell the truth to yourself instead of allow fear to control you?
I go back to scripture. I got to cling to it. Because if I don't, I feel like the world continues to tell me those lies. Yeah. And I don't want to cling to those. I want to cling to God because He loves me. And, you know, sometimes I do struggle with that, but I have to just go back to scripture.
That's right.
And, you know, it's not like I don't struggle with it, but when I find myself kind of feeling, you know, some of the same feelings, I stop myself. I have to try to stop myself and then go back to scripture. I have to remember I am lovable. I am worthy because He makes me worthy. Amen. And He loves me just the way I am. And I don't have to be perfect.
That's right. Because none of us are, Denise. None of us are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Satan wants us to believe that, you know, we aren't perfect. Well, we aren't. You're right. We aren't. But we don't have to be either.
That's right. A lot of good insight that you've learned, Denise. I'm so glad you called. I'll tell you what, you hang on. I'm going to have Stephen. If you're available and interested, you're welcome to come and join us. Bring yourself and a guest to our conference, A Night of Hope. That'll be a lot of encouragement for you and for everybody else who's coming. It's going to be in Phoenix, July 6th, Friday night, July 6th, about 3 or 4 weeks from now. Jordan St. Cyr is going to be singing. I'm going to be speaking, sharing some really, I think, practical, powerful things about living intentionally and experiencing hope in our life and our marriage and our family. And I'd love to have you be our guest. So hang on. And Stephen will talk to you. All right, let's take a quick break. Jennifer, we'll be right back. You're welcome to join us. We're going to continue on after the show ends here in a few minutes, recording your calls as you share with me. What have you learned about your emotions? What have you learned? Or are you still struggling to learn? What have you learned? You're in process like all of us. And how have you used that knowledge to help you move forward a little bit in your life? 888-888-1717.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our life, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th, with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
All right. Today, they're available, again, either through the website at the radio station, or you can right here at ours. They're kind of tied, but two different addresses. TheIntentionalLife.com. All right. Buried emotions are buried alive. Beverly Engel made the statement, if you carry around a lot of suppressed or repressed anger, good psychological statements, right? You carry around these suppressed or repressed anger, you may lash out at a person blaming or punishing them for something someone else did a long time ago. Maybe you feel that way in a marriage or family, like, why am I getting the heat on something that was happening from many years ago? Taking responsibility, right? Because you were unwilling, she goes on to say, or unable to express how you felt in the past, you may overreact to the present. That's a really profound statement. A lot of stuff in life is learned, and we can unlearn it. We learn to suppress or repress our emotions in an unhealthy way. And by the way, emotions themselves are just sort of neutral. They're there, but they should be used as a fuel. It's kind of like a blinking vital sign or blinking on your dashboard in your car. Hey, problem ahead. Or attention needed, right? Low tires, low gas, overheating, whatever it is, to say, hey, what am I going to do? I'm going to stop and deal with it in a positive way. Use this as a fuel to drive positive things, not sinful things. It says in the book of Ephesians, be angry, but do not sin. Do not allow that emotion, Paul says, to drive you into the ditch of sin in your life that can be so damaging to you and others. And sometimes that's talking to a counselor, talking to your pastor, getting a greater understanding on the source of that emotion that you have. Where is this coming from? Understanding the impact it's having on other people. Hey, your emotions impact other people. And then understand how to use them, use those emotions. Man, that can drive you to great success. If we get angry about the right things, the world in which we're living, the sin in the world, the problems in the world, and I'm going to use this to drive me to do something positive. If we see problems in our marriage or family, use those emotions to drive us in a more positive way. That's really what we're talking about here. All right, let's go back to the calls. I'm going to go to Joni in Georgia. Hi, Joni. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Carlson. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about emotions, or what's going on?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what emotion it would be, but I've learned that I was broken, very broken, and didn't realize how broken I was till I have six children, till several of them just went off the rails. They didn't want anything to do with Christianity. And then I'm like, oh boy, what did I do wrong?
Maybe nothing.
Yeah. Oh, I think I did. I guess I'm a person that I always had to be doing something. I always had to be like cleaning. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just the way I was raised because my dad was very clean, my stepdad. But what I realized, it was I never felt like the Lord really saw me. And so I always felt like I had to do, because I felt like no one ever saw me growing up. So I always had to do things to feel like I was worth something.
Mm. And so what was the message to the kids, do you think, that caused them to maybe reconsider where they were spiritually? Did they want anything to do with mom's faith or what? What do you think?
No, because I'm not there now. But then I think they saw God more as a God of judgment. You have to do this and that to get his approval, like we did mom. And I demonstrated more law than grace. Mm-hmm. But that God has really gotten a hold of my heart when not all of them, but when several of them have went through some really tough things, he's really changed me a lot.
How about them? Have you been able to talk to them about your growth and what they've seen, what's going on with mom, in a positive way?
Well, absolutely. My oldest daughter went through breast cancer. And the last surgery she went through, she told me when it was done, about 2 months after, she said, "Mom, when you hugged me during the surgery, after the surgery, that's the first time that I have felt your unconditional love." Wow. And I had been praying that. I'd been praying that she would feel God's love through me. But it was like, okay. I felt like, okay, Lord, you're growing me.
That's great. Fantastic. Listen, Joni, you're sharing a powerful reminder that sometimes things are going on, we don't even aware of it, you know, how we're impacting other people. You know, one of the first steps, Joni, in the process of growing is just acknowledging it, just sitting down and saying, wow, what's going on in my life? How did I get here? There's something powerful with that vulnerability. I just did a lesson on control with the staff. And one of the things we know, a person who's in high control need, doesn't want to be vulnerable because they're not in control when that happens. But boy, what openness I hear from you. That's such a positive growth point in your life. Gotta run. Thank you, Joni, for sharing. I know you got more to your story, but God bless you. Tell you what, we're going to stay here in studio, and I want to just talk to you all about this. Maybe some buried emotions that you realize you've dealt with and working on, and what have you learned about them in your life? Come and join the discussion. We're going to record those to air coming up early next week. Give me a call. Line is open at 888-888-1717. We can't do this without you. 888-888-1717. Or go to theintentionallife.com to find out about the Night of Hope and get your tickets. See you tomorrow right here from Intentional Living.